Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Thank you, Brian Main, for that introduction, and welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Today we continue looking at a book that was edited by Robert and Susan McIntosh, a book titled The Teachings of George Albert Smith, who was the 8th president of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. In the year 2000, the First Presidency gave this book as a Christmas gift to other general authorities in the church, as well as several employees of the church. But before we dive into our final topics on this book, Eric, we have an offer for listeners, and could you tell the people about that?
Yeah, if you would like to help our radio ministry out, we have a special offer that you might like to consider for a generous gift of any size. We will send you an electronic copy of Bill's In Their Own Words. It's a compilation of LDS citations that is close to 400 pages in length. Simply go to mrm.org, go to the donate button on the right side of the top main page, and then put in your amount. In the Add a Note section, put the letters PDF and then provide your radio station call letters. Or if you listen on podcasts, mention the state where you live. That will help us immensely. We will send you an electronic copy of Bill's compiled quotes in their own words. 100% of the gifts are going to our radio ministries. We thank you in advance for your help at this time.
The Teachings of George Albert Smith, the 8th President of the Church. We're going to look at a topic having to do with the Joseph Smith translation or the Inspired Version. What does he say on page 57, Eric?
And yet the larger proportion of this world do not now know the contents of the Bible. Most of those who have read it and are familiar more or less with its text do not know after all these years how to interpret it. The Lord has given to us the power to interpret it. He gave to the prophet Joseph Smith the privilege of retranslating it, if I may use that term.
Well, let's look at what he says. And yet the larger proportion of this world do not now know the contents of the Bible. I don't mean to offend any Latter-day Saints that might be listening to this show, but can I just be upfront and say, in my conversations with many members of the LDS Church, I have found that a large proportion of members of the LDS Church do not know the contents of the Bible. How many times have I brought something up from the scripture that I would say is something that was pretty basic, and the LDS person I'm talking to has never read this before, have never looked at a lot of these passages? Art and Edna Midvarson were my mentors. Edna, I remember telling me the story one time when she was talking to a Latter-day Saint woman, and she quoted something from the book of Hebrews. And the lady she was talking to said to her, "Well, I don't read the Old Testament very much." Now, of course, hearing that, you would think she probably doesn't read the New Testament very much, since that's where the book of Hebrews is located. But many times in my experience in talking with Mormons, they seem to be very unfamiliar with pertinent Bible passages that I think would certainly show them that what they tend to believe by their latter-day revelation is not in conformity with what the New Testament teaches.
We know that reading the Bible was very powerful in changing the life of Micah Wilder, who was a missionary back in 2005 in Florida and was challenged by a pastor to read the Bible. And he had never really read the Bible as a little child, what he was asked to do by the pastor. And so he did so. It changed his life forever. I'm going to tell you that I have talked to missionaries who haven't even read the Book of Mormon before they went out on their mission, let alone the Bible. The Book of Mormon seems to be a book more often read cover to cover than the Bible. And I'm going to say, if you're a Latter-day Saint and have not read the Bible, we highly suggest that you would.
Let me point out something else that he says in this paragraph, Eric. When he talks about the Lord has given to us the power to interpret it, speaking of the Bible, we've been saying that all along. we oftentimes will cite something that a Mormon leader has said regarding a certain Bible passage, and many times they get it wrong. They do not properly exegete the passage, even though they would insist, and George Albert Smith is insisting on it here, that the Lord has given to us the power to interpret the Bible. Now, he goes on to say, he gave to the prophet Joseph Smith the privilege of retranslating it, if I may use that term. That's an interesting thing to say, because we've often insisted that the Joseph Smith translation is not really a translation at all. It almost appears as if George Albert Smith recognizes that same fact that we have recognized, because what Joseph Smith did with his Joseph Smith translation, quote unquote, is merely open up a Bible. He just started altering the passages wherever he saw it fit.
As a hobby, he learned some Hebrew. We have no indication that he knew any Koine Greek that were used in the Old and New Testaments. And so it can't be a translation if you're not taking it from the best manuscripts that we have available to us. As far as inspired version or the Joseph Smith translation that you have referred to, if that really is something that God gave to him, then why isn't the church using it today?
You would think they should. Now, he also talks about church membership and how it does not guarantee a place in the celestial kingdom. What does he say about that?
What a privilege it is to worship the Lord and to do it in the way he has indicated. There are some people who are members of the church. Their names are on the record, and they have an idea that that is all that is necessary. But the time will come when they will have to face their record, and their admission into the celestial kingdom will be conditioned upon the way they have observed the advice of our Heavenly Father right here upon the earth. How grateful we ought to be not to be uncertain as to where we are going.
Now, I found that fascinating because in that same book, on page 97, he says, the church does not compel obedience. What you just read, Eric, doesn't that sound like he's compelling obedience? That just being a member in the church doesn't guarantee you a place in the celestial kingdom. There are things that you have to do. You have to obey. And that seems to be a theme that's in every single one of these books that were given away as Christmas gifts by the First Presidency. But he says the church does not compel obedience. I am grateful that I belong to a church that does not compel obedience. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints does not coerce. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a gospel of love, intelligence, and wonderful guide for our lives. That is what it is for. It is for everybody, yet we find people who resist the very thing that would make them happy. They will not live the gospel, but seek happiness only in the pleasures of life that will not endure.
Bill, let me ask you a question, the issue of tithing. Is that coerced or is that optional for members?
When I've used the word coercion in conjunction with the Mormon doctrine of tithing, I remember getting an email from a Mormon who was pretty upset with me on that. He says, well, I don't feel coerced. And that's fine. If you, as a Latter-day Saint, are giving to your church and you don't feel like you really have to, that's certainly your business. But I would venture to say that if you were to stop giving your tithing to the church, you're going to lose something very special. You're going to lose your temple recommend. You will not be allowed to go to the temple. If you are not temple worthy, according to the structure of Mormonism, you're also not celestial kingdom worthy. This can have a bad effect because some Latter-day Saints will probably equate their ability to have a temple recommend as qualifying for the celestial kingdom. That would be a gross error on their part. Just because a Mormon has a temple recommend does not mean that they are worthy for exaltation. That's a kind of a long answer for what I'm about to say. I do feel that the way the Mormon church is structured when it comes to tithing, that is in fact a type of coercion. If you don't do this, you won't get what you seek. You are being, in fact, coerced. You must pay this in order to get the recommend, in order to get potential exaltation.
Another citation on the celestial kingdom comes on pages 35 and 36, and it says, all have an equal opportunity to inherit eternal life. One of the beautiful things to me in the gospel of Jesus Christ is that it brings us all to a common level. It is not necessary for a man to be a president of a stake or a member of the Quorum of the Twelve in order to attain a high place in the celestial kingdom. The humblest member of the church, if he keeps the commandments of God, will obtain an exaltation just as much as any other man in the celestial kingdom. The beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that it makes us all equal in as far as we keep the commandments of the Lord. In as far as we observe to keep the laws of the church, we have equal opportunities for exaltation. Bill, I'm going to say the common denominator is obedience to the laws of the church.
But wait a minute. We just read from the same book by the same author, the church does not compel obedience. What you read most certainly shows that they are compelled to obey if they hope to receive exaltation. Now, when he says all have an equal opportunity to inherit eternal life, what is eternal life in the context of Mormonism? It's celestial exaltation. How can you say that this church does not compel obedience and then read a statement such as that? It most certainly sounds like it does. Now, when it says, one of the beautiful things to me in the gospel of Jesus Christ is that it brings us all to a common level. Well, wasn't that one of the criticisms against early Christianity? Jesus was going out and really, in the estimation of some people, picking out the dregs of society and granting them salvation? Of course. That's been a trait of Christianity since the very beginning. So to say one of the beautiful things to me in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and let's be honest, when he says the gospel of Jesus Christ, he's not referring to the gospel that we believe, the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's talking about this restored gospel of Jesus Christ that came through the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or the LDS Church.
One final quote, page 118. He writes, grave consequences await those who purposely do not have children. How will those feel who fail to obey that first great command when they stand in the presence of the Creator? How can they comply with that invitation if they have no children to take to the Father? They must remain childless throughout eternity.
This statement kind of puzzles me when he says they must remain childless throughout eternity. But isn't that the whole reason why marriage is supposed to continue on eternally, is so the husband and wife will be producing offspring to fill the world that they will inherit for being good Mormons? If this is a requirement in order to become a god, okay, they're not only going to remain childless throughout eternity, they're not even going to reach exaltation, it would seem. Does this not sound like Mormons are being compelled to have children? Wouldn't they have to be obedient to this doctrine of having children if they hope to reach this exaltation? But yet the same George Albert Smith said, the church does not compel obedience. I am grateful that I belong to a church that does not compel obedience. Folks, that just is not true.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast of Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear previous shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is free on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the right side where it says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today.